Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Yo. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
They've got the Bears at the Niners, who are...
Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. And then... home to the Vikings. The Eagles are got the Wash. They got Commanders next week. This week they've got no. They got the Commanders on Sunday. Excuse me. Then the Cowboys and the Giants. They're a massive favorite in the final three games. I believe the Lions right now have the tiebreaker.
Yes, because I think it's based on. I think largely it's based on the Commanders
have. Is it conference record?
Yeah, I think it's like strength of victory, which means basically like the record of the teams you've beaten.
Wins tiebreak over Philadelphia based off of winning percentage in conference games. So Detroit's 8-1 right now in the NFC. Philly is 7-2. So the Lions. Man, not only is that week 18 game against the Vikings going to be enormous for the division, most likely, but it could be for the one seed, too, for them to hold on to the one seed. That is going to be, I mean, week 18 has the potential to have some really important games.
Well, then, like, which game would they put on?
I think they would put Lions-Vikings on.
But don't they want them all to play at the same time so that no one has an advantage?
Well,
You also have Rams. I think the Rams Seahawks could basically play the night game for the West.
Yeah, the big ones. So looking at the schedule for Week 18,
because I think they're going to want the Eagles, the Lions, and the Vikings. Whatever the Eagles. Who'd you say is that? Do they finish with the Giants?
Yeah, they got the Giants at home.
Yeah, so I think you put all those games at 3:25, and then you put. Rams, Seahawks, because that's just it doesn't matter. What everyone else does. It's just that when you put that one, it's Sunday night.
Man, but to pass up a potential 14-2 versus 14-2 showdown at Ford Field,
yeah,
I think you would probably put that game still on Sunday Night Football.
I just know that there's that big deal. They don't want a team having like a schematic or, you know, like a strategic right. advantage based on the result of earlier.
Well, let's get there first.
Yeah, let's get there. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into the NBA a little bit. We also got the Frisco Bowl tonight. Got to talk about that. We'll do all that when we come back with a list. Also, we'll rank the college football coaches of the CFP. We'll do that during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Zen Sports just picked the grand prize winner for the Big November Big Game Sweepstakes, and they're running it back in December with the Big Game Sweepstakes College Edition. This time, instead of going to the big game for the pros, they're giving you a chance to go see the very first big game in the new college football format. With a grand prize of $10,000 cash and two tickets to the biggest game of the college football season, and the ability to earn Entries on every single bet you place in December, it doesn't get much better than that. Even if you don't win the grand prize, don't worry. You'll still have a shot at one of 10 prizes, which grant you $1,000 towards any college football playoff game in 2025. So what are you waiting for? Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules and earn a $100 no danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports, betting just got better. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. No danger first wager, limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. See terms and conditions. A qualifying wager for a wager entry must have a minimum odds for any leg in the entry at minus 250 or worse American odds. For clarity, a wager at minus 251 does not qualify. Zensports.com/sweepstakes for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. We're going to rank the college football coaches of the college football playoff coming up next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list. The Frisco Bowl. All right, Tim, I have not seen latest odds. I got the Tigers at 3.5. Excuse me, 3.5. And I believe I've seen it up to 6. I mean, I can tell you this. Most of the Tigers are playing.
Most of the Mountaineers are not.
Okay, so this was the only spin zone I was thinking. So I don't buy into the, you know, it used to be, well, are you going to try to put your best foot forward for Rich Rod? He's going to be there at the game. I never bought into that because, and now even more so, I buy into that even less because, well, he's just bringing in the guys he wants to bring in no matter what. Here is, though, if you are trying to spin zone of, all right, maybe I'll take some value. I believe the line did open up as West Virginia is a slight favorite. I don't know anyone that was able to actually bet that, bet the Tigers as an underdog. But what I would buy into is there's still time playing on December 17th to put some good tape out there and go get in the portal and try to get it back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, as we go into this new era of college football where the portal is opening in the middle of December, I do think, and maybe one game isn't going to change people's minds, but I do think there is an advantage for some of these teams to play early. Memphis, you know, you look at some of the other teams.
For clarity's sake, Memphis requested to play early for the reasons that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's why I think they're going to be, and I think it says something, and this is why ultimately I bet Memphis. Now, I bet them a little bit differently, and we'll see if it comes back to bite me in the butt, because I bet Memphis, and I paired them with James Madison tomorrow in a money line parlay, thinking that the starting quarterback for Western Kentucky, wasn't going to play. He is going to play despite being in the portal. Not ideal. They're still a 7-point favorite. Regardless, I really like Memphis here in this spot. Now, do I want to lay 6 when you could have laid much better number? Not really, but yeah, I think Memphis, and you would know much more than I. Silverfield has done well in bowl games. I was impressed by what I saw on Thanksgiving night in a game that, you know, technically didn't really have much meaning in the sense that they knew they couldn't make the AAC championship, but they went out and beat up Tulane pretty good. And I think that carries over. And, you know, what's interesting is we continue to have these guys that are like, that guy still has eligibility. Hennigan's done, right?
Yeah, because it was funny. Somebody asked me today if he would be a grad transfer candidate. I was like, I know nobody can believe this, but Seth is actually out of eligibility because Seth's first year was post-COVID. Because of that, he didn't get the COVID year.
So
he started 4 years. Like he is a rare 4 years to play for all at the same school. He may be the last to ever do that.
Yeah. And I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would think he would want to go out a winner. And
it's also, he's from Denton, so he's from a little bit north. You know, like this is kind of a quote unquote home game.
Is he going to a Shrine Bowl or anything like that? Do you know?
I want to say the Shrine Bowl actually was.
Yeah, I thought I saw him commit to that. But for, you know, and look at it this way too. You know, Seth Hennigan, a guy that probably a UDFA, but maybe could sneak into a late round quarterback depth type of guy. Like this is the only game on tonight, man. This is a Tuesday night 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central on ESPN. Like, this is a good window. As crazy, I mean, it's early, obviously, but I think this is a good window to get some eyeballs. And lastly, you're playing a Big 12 team. Like, that means something. I always tend to gravitate towards looking at a group of five team playing a Power Four program. Like, those are bowl games that I look at. I'm like, all right, where are we at from a motivational standpoint? And I just, like, West Virginia, let's be honest, man. Like, you mentioned it. They fired Neil Brown. They're playing in Frisco, Texas, far away from where they're located. They already, honestly, they already had their bowl game. It was called Rich Rodriguez's press conference.
Yes.
I don't know who shows up for this game. I think it could be ugly.
Yeah, I thought about maybe sprinkling some alt, but it's like, eh, I got a good line. I'll just.
Yeah, I mean, I think once again, too, like, if you got a good number like you do, like, for me, the worry I have is that Memphis blows them out and then I mess up my bet because I have the other leg of the parlay that doesn't come home.
Yeah.
In theory, I could, if Memphis wins tonight, then I can try to middle it by taking points with Western Kentucky. So we have capabilities there, but they're still playing a Big 12 team. And, you know, once again, you live there, I don't. But even though Florida State went 2-10 or whatever the hell they did this year, this program went to Florida State and whooped up their former coach. Like, I think beating West Virginia to wrap up the season, in 5 years, no one's going to be like, yeah, well, West Virginia was only 6-6. But, like, yeah, we went to a bowl game and smoked West Virginia. So I think this team is going to be ready to go. I think they're going to be motivated. And, you know, that's the name of the game. Like, who's motivated, who's playing. And as you pointed out, seems like everyone's going to be a go for this for Memphis here tonight. And West Virginia, I don't know. I got to keep an eye on who is officially opted out. But
I don't even know which of their five quarterbacks are they going to play. Is Riley Green still alive?
I don't know. They've had so many quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, I. This is one of those ones where, hey, man, like you said, it's a bowl game. Anything can happen. I expect when I'm coming back tomorrow, I'm talking about a Tiger win.
I would, yes. I would be surprised if they don't win this game.
So Memphis tonight, you can hear it right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Thanks, of course, to Tim and Bowl Season Radio. You can hear it tonight with the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
They dump coffee on the coach.
Cold?
I believe cold, yes. Yeah. And a big, like, big latte cup.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
I believe this last year was me staying up to watch Chad Pennington's kid and one of the McCown's kids flinging poo back and forth at each other.
Sounds right.
It was like a Marshall UTSA nobody cared bowl.
I'm looking it up right now. Yep, you're spot on.
Yeah.
UTSA beat them 35-17.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a loser, too. And it's like, I had Marshall at first. The NBA Cup. All right, Tim, we got tonight the NBA Cup final at T-Mobile Arena.
Woo!
I have
my
a theory.
Backyard.
I have a theory. I need to know if you can get some actual, like, on-the-ground reporting. My theory is they turn out the lights so that you can't see how many people are not there. Because there's one, like, it's one thing, like, I've gone to Lakers games. Like, I've done the Clippers early game, Lakers evening game. Like, I've done that. And, like, they light the floor differently for Lakers games. They darken it, but they don't black it out. Like, you can still see people. They're just blacking out the entire arena bowl at T-Mobile.
You know, we talked about it in the first hour about neutral sites. The NBA, to me, not a good neutral site sport.
No, I do.
NBA play, like, I'll say this, like, All-Star Weekend, which I know had some new news that came out today. Mm-hmm. All-Star Weekend's an event, right? You've got all the stars there. You've got the dunk contest, three-point contest, all of that. We're talking about a Tuesday night with the Bucks and the Thunder. Good matchup, but it's, I don't know what the type of atmosphere is going to be. I don't think it's going to be a very good atmosphere at all.
I think you're right. What I find interesting, though, is can you do this without the neutral site, because it felt like they were trying to use Vegas as one of the enticements.
Also,
the NBA loves to go to Vegas.
Yes, they do. Also, Oklahoma City and Milwaukee just got 2 free days in Vegas. Do they have the Vegas flu tonight?
Well, the Grizzlies, by the way, definitely had the L.A. flu on Sunday night. I should have warned you. I should have tipped you off, like, hey, if you really needed to play something Sunday night, I was like, I would have been okay with that. I don't know, because this is one of those things where we're obviously always going to have think pieces about the NBA. Do we think this thing's worked?
I think so. Not real much conviction there.
I think that's the right answer, because I, like you, I think through 2 years, for the most part, it seems like cup games have a different energy, particularly than games that you would regularly see in November. So for that, I'm cool with it. My bigger problem is, it just felt like another way for Silver to try to solve an issue that wasn't there, bring in new revenue. And it's like, I think the NBA has bigger problems than whether or not, like how they're organizing and how they're like making the cup competitive. I will say this. I don't like, it feels very difficult to follow from a group stage. Like, why would you, we're kind of trained at this point to understand how World Cup works. Why would you not do it that way? But that's fine. Like, I think in the end, it's like, well, we've got to get to 8, and there's, mathematically, there's only a certain way. I think the bigger problem, though, is like, you know what I would really rather see more so than cup games or some new trendy way to gear up interest? How about some consistency in, like, the way the game's officiated? Like, it feels like to me the NBA worries less about their product and more like marketing their product than like the actual competition. That's kind of where I would like to see some changes made.
Yeah, I think that's fair for sure. I think I've mentioned this on the show before, where in that Starting Five Netflix documentary, whatever it was.
Sure.
Jimmy Butler, LeBron.
By the way, how many documentaries you ever seen where an executive producer is also the subject?
True, yeah. So not document, whatever.
The World According, yeah.
But the reason I bring it up, the one guy with European ties, Sabonis, was like, oh yeah, this makes total sense. I totally get it. And all the four other Americans were like, I don't understand what's going on. I just want to win some money. So, look, I think... You ask the question, is it working? Well, you've got the Lakers won the first one with LeBron, and now, while Oklahoma City is not a household name, they're the best team in the Western Conference, and you've got Giannis on the other side.
So I think OKC's still the favorite, right?
To win the...
Oh, no, Boston.
Yeah, but still, like, I think it's working because, at the end of the day, we've had pretty good star power. The Lakers played, remind me, was it the Pacers, and they just smoked them last year.
Yes, because LeBron realized he could have a cup, and Michael could never. MJ could never.
That's true.
LeBron's big on changing the argument.
All time, man. The only one. But yeah, I think it's working because it's a little interesting. Like, December 17th, NBA basketball, not usually interesting. Tonight on ABC, okay, yeah, I'll probably put it on one of the screens. Why not? I think timing makes it help out. Like, I don't know, rating standpoint, if that's what... Like, the question I have and I'm curious about is, like, how much money is the NBA pumping into this? Because from that standpoint, it's probably not a success. Like, ESPN has a crew outside in front of T-Mobile right now. You know, like...
Yeah, I think so.
That seems a little overkill.
It also feels to me like that's one of those questions that probably a spreadsheet wouldn't give you the answer, because I imagine if you are viewing this as a business enterprise based on what they spent and what they made, I imagine it is a loser. But then I think there's a fair question of, okay, when they were in the midst of their new TV deal that they were negotiating, like, was this one of the things like, hey, this is what makes ESPN, like, did this maybe get someone over the edge of like, eh, man, I don't, that's too rich for my blood. And then all of a sudden, like, it becomes something that is a loser on paper, but maybe it got you over the hump in negotiation. But my bigger deal is, I do think it's fascinating that the NBA, and maybe this is just the way that they like it, and maybe this is the way it's designed. Almost every other sport, golf included, in the last 5 years has seen increase in TV viewership. The NBA has not. Now, we can get into all the reasons. And whether or not it matters, to them it doesn't. Clearly, because guess what? We just signed a new TV deal. What do we care? Like, you know what I mean? Like, at a certain point, like, I kind of, like, it's, maybe it matters in 8 years when they go to renegotiate, whatnot, but, like, I understand that. I have this fundamental question. For you, a former college basketball player, do you find the NBA product as currently constructed to be a good product?
Every day?
Isn't that the problem? I think that, because to me what it all wraps up into is, are we talking about the playoffs?
Playoffs are awesome.
Because NBA playoffs are fantastic.
I love the NBA playoffs. Like, so, I love them.
And I think that's like when you try to filter through all the predetermined takes and whatnot, I think an actual problem that the NBA has is there is, even Major League Baseball, which has 162 of them, a Tuesday night game, when you show up, you know the guys are playing for the most part. Maybe it's somebody's off day, but it's not everybody's off day, and you know, like, they're going to play hard. Like, I think the biggest problem that the NBA has is you have a regular season problem in which you cannot fool your audience into believing it matters to them. And the problem that I see, though, is I do not know what the solution is to that.
Well, I want to go back to your initial question, which was, are these working? And I said, I think so. And, like, tonight, Milwaukee, Oklahoma City, that's a good final product. But I don't know about you, man. On Saturday, those two cup semis completely lost in the shuffle. And it was a good day to have it, right? It was a good, there was not college football, there was no NFL.
Well, you had the one game on TNT, one on ABC, right? Like, there was trying to figure it out. It's like, all right, where is this?
And, like, I think the Hawks-Bucks game ended up being pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, Trae Young was really good. Giannis was a beast. But, like, I don't know, man. And maybe, and I might be in the minority. Like, I watched every second of Army-Navy. Like, that's just what I do on the Army-Navy game. But it wasn't anything where I was like, I felt like I needed to watch it. It just felt like it kind of blended in to the normal. Like, there was no, oh my God, I got to go watch this on the middle. And maybe that's just the way
I've even got the multi TV set up. Like, I had it, but then, you know, the gambling syndicate wanted to bet on some, like, B team college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm more of a college basketball guy at heart. I totally recognize that. Like, I'd rather be watching some of the college hoops that was on. Tennessee, Illinois, we were talking about that. You know, Marquette, Dayton, Alabama, Creighton, you know, Gonzaga, UConn. Those are games that I was more interested in than the cup.
And I think, though, like, that's kind of the
Memphis, Clemson.
I think that's, like, the real question I have is, when you have decidedly become a postseason sport, can you ever get it back?
I mean, you get it on Christmas, except you're going to have two NFL games.
I don't know, man.
This year.
Goodell kind of blitzkrieged that one. That's another good talking point. NFL ratings versus the playoff ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Because what we have an NBC and a Fox game on Saturday. When do we have that stupid Peacock exclusive?
playoff game?
No, there's a regular season Peacock exclusive. It was like,
well, we had the Amazon one that was on Black Friday, right?
Yeah, no, no, there's a Peacock exclusive. Last year was when we watched like Easton Stick cooking for the Chargers. Is it the Chiefs? Maybe.
Well, we did just get today. We got announced the triple header on the 28th.
So we
those are the NFL Network games.
Houston KC is NBC and Peacock. So yeah, I mean that this is going to get, because I think also the first two Saturday games are on TNT, correct?
College football. Yeah, because the NFL was like, oh, that's cool. You have a playoff? Yeah, we're going to have.
No, I mean, this is what we were joking. Giannotto and I were joking about. It's like, it was, you know, Goodell came for Christmas Day and he took it in like 6 seconds. Now it feels like he's coming for, like, it feels like his next step is figuring out how to beat the law and trying to take over Saturdays as well.
Well, ESPN punted on two playoff games.
No, they called up TNT. They said, you want some playoff games?
Yeah, give us some money.
Because we can't.
We're going to put the FCS on ABC instead.
We are not going to upset the commish. All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about the coaches of the college football playoff. We'll rank them 1 through 12. We do it next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, expanding our college football playoff rankings. On Friday, we ranked our quarterbacks. And, Tim, I know you said you were going to do it again on your show on VSiN this week. How much change did you have?
I don't think I changed much. I tweeted it out. So I think – I can't remember if I had Stockton. I think I did have Stockton last. And, you know, I think I moved up Jennings a little bit. I think my list on the show was Gabriel 1, Klubnik 2, Leonard 3, Rourke 4, Jennings 5, Aller 6, Ewers, Nico, Will Howard 7, 8, 9, and then Levitt, Madsen, and Stockton. And then I came to the realization, I'm like, oh my God, three of the four quarterbacks in the quarterfinals are the three worst quarterbacks in my rankings.
All right, so let's get into the coaches' rankings.
This was harder.
I think it was harder. So I thought this one at the top was pretty clear for me.
Kirby won,
because I asked myself the question, is Alabama in the playoff? No, they're not. Kirby's won. It's the only like hang-up he has. This is now, I guess, where you could say is like.
So I'm curious. So I'm fascinated how you rank these, like based off of potential, based off of losing big games, James Franklin, based off of they've won a national championship.
Yep.
So that's why I have Dabo too. He's won multiple national championships.
I have one and two the same, and I would also look at it this way with Dabo. They still have kind of shown up in big games. Like, they have losses this year, but, like, they were ready to go. Like,
Do you think the kind of, like, now, once again, this is thin-skinned Notre Dame fans speaking here, but how many times in November, well, they lost to Northern Illinois. It's like, okay, yeah, I get it. They got the worst loss in college football this year. Fair. Move on. What's your next point? Well, they got their ass kicked by Georgia. Clemson did week one. It's like, okay, yeah, they did. They didn't play well against Louisville either, but they're a pretty good football team, and they've recruited well. He doesn't go in the portal. Yeah, he doesn't. He does not. He's not going in the portal.
Maybe he is now.
Yeah, like, maybe. I think maybe more. Now.
I do think his struggles as of late have been a changing landscape in which the Clemson job was no longer as good of a job as it was at the height, and then he originally picked the wrong quarterback with DJU, and then he's been scrambling ever since. Like, it turns out you can't just refuel top 10 quarterbacks every single time. All right, this is where it starts to get interesting.
Yep.
I put Sark at 3.
Me too. He's made it to a playoff. He's one of the best play callers out there. Look, I remember when he was at, I think it was at USC, and I was doing radio in DC, and one of the radio hosts there was just loved Sark. And he's a buddy of mine that I know well and knows college football. And I'm like, dude, what are you seeing? Like, he's a nightmare. And I was right, because he was dealing with
his personal life was a nightmare.
Yeah, he was dealing with some stuff, obviously. Yes. But he went to the Saban Reclamation School.
The Nick Saban School for Wayward Boys.
And now he's one of the best coaches out there. I still have questions about Texas, but if they're able to beat Clemson on Saturday, the road is paved in gold to a semifinal showdown in the state of Texas against Oregon or Ohio State or Tennessee. So I was impressed last year with this Texas team and his play calling and all of that. So, yeah, I put him at 3.
All right, this is where it starts to get difficult for me. I also put Sark at 3 because nobody's been able to figure out the Texas thing since Mac, and he figured it out. So that was kind of my other deal. This is where I really, because my number 4 is a guy that I don't actually trust in a big game, but at the same time, the record is kind of speaking for itself. I put Dan Lanning at 4.
I got him in there, too.
All right, then I put Marcus Freeman at 5, because to your point, when everyone wants to do the Northern Illinois thing, he's been an underdog 6 times as the head coach at Notre Dame. He's got 3 outright wins.
He does a very good job.
He's in the big game, his team's ready.
Right. The Texas A&M game, his team is ready. Now, fortunately for Notre Dame, all of these games are big, right? So moving forward, and if you look at his track record with extended rest, I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but he's done very well, albeit short sample size, only 3 years. I don't have him at 5.
Okay.
I've got Cignetti at 5. I think Cignetti, when you look at the fact that he's won every which way and every level, in playoffs too, I mind you, at James Madison when they were in the FCS, I put Cignetti at 5. I do recognize that this is kind of his first big moment, and he's trying to downplay it. Like, I've coached playoff games before. I do think there's... I think the fact that he essentially has gotten this out of a team that is a glorified James Madison is pretty impressive in this year. And I know in their biggest moment they got boat raced by Ohio State, but I'm going to give Cignetti the nod at 5. And then I went Freeman 6.
Okay, so I went Heupel at 6 because a lot of the same things that I said about Sark hold true to Heupel. He's a very good play caller.
Yep.
It's been a mess at Tennessee. He has figured it out. And even this year, I think I found myself tipping my cap to him more this year because I think he showed some maturity as a coach because he realized my offense isn't there yet, but my defense is pretty good. And he showed me, like, he can win kind of that ugly, like, the way he beat Alabama was ugly. The way they beat Oklahoma was ugly, but he was fine with it. And I just kind of give him credit because at a certain point, like, his record's kind of starting to stack up. I had him at 6, and then I had Cignetti at 7. And honestly, it's only because I just get front-runner vibes from him. Because you are right, he's had success at JMU. Well, JMU's a really good job.
And Elon.
And he had less success at Elon, but Elon's a tougher job. I grant you that. But I just get the sense of, man, when he was... I did not like the body language on the sideline in that Ohio State game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's fair.
He's one of those ones where it's like, if he's a favorite, I think you might want to just like go ahead and just like, if he's supposed to beat him, take him because he's gonna make sure they beat who they're supposed to beat.
There's part of me that wants to believe your belief, which is that Notre Dame is just gonna outclass Indiana. And they very well could. I think Notre Dame's offensive line has been gelling as the year has gone on. And what was maybe perceived to be a big question or a weakness has become a bit of a strength for the Irish here. I do have worries about just playmakers outside making plays. But I wonder a little bit, because I think I saw a quote from like Indiana's defensive coordinator, which essentially, I'm paraphrasing.
Tom Allen. No.
Tom Allen's at Penn State, yeah. Who essentially was like, yeah, we know Riley Leonard's good, but we're going to make him feel those hits. And it's like, all right, dude, like, he didn't play in the MAC. Like, they played big boy football already this year. My list is not too far off, right? So,
no, I mean, and to me, it's like,
I went Cignetti 5, Notre Dame, I went Freeman 6, and I went Heupel 7. So we're still in the same range, just a little jumble.
Yeah, you know, because I think tier wise, that's kind of how I would do it. All right, here's where it gets fascinating.
There might be some.
I put Brett Lashley at 8.
I put him at 9. We still haven't mentioned 2 Big Ten coaches.
Uh huh. So who do you have at 8?
I have Kenny D.
Okay, so I've got.
I got to give the guy credit.
No,
man.
I think he has done. So here's how I separate it. I think two things can be true. I think you can do a really good coaching job with a team, and I can worry about you in this spot because you've
no doubt.
You're literally my age, or I think he's my brother's age. He's 2 years younger than I am, and he's in this spot.
And I wrote it up, and we have a betting guide at VSiN for the playoff. And one of my best bets was Texas lay at 11.5 in the quarters. I think it's a terrible matchup. I think they're going to get smashed. That said,
he still did a hell of a job this year.
Arizona State, I bet against them like three times down the stretch because I was like, all right, this can't continue. You know, all right, pressure's on them against Arizona. Went out and smoked them. I was on Iowa State. Market moved to my favor. They went out and smoked them. So I got to give him credit, man. Like, he has turned this program around so quickly. And, you know, similarly to Rhett Lashley, too. You know, comes in as an OC. They had a good year last year. Should have, in my opinion, gotten the berth to the New Year's Six instead of Liberty. They go to a bowl game. They play like crap. And then, you know, it's funny because thinking back to the preseason on SMU, there were so many folks that, like, I think it was Bill Conley, and then there are a bunch of people who very analytically based models, and they all had massive value on SMU to win like 9 games, 10 games, and then it was kind of that, like, yeah, well, no team's ever done this, like, jump from the G5 to the P4 and played this well, and he deserves a ton of credit, and they started the wrong quarterback out of the chute, but they righted the wrong quick enough that they were able to, you know, not be torpedoed by having the wrong quarterback playing.
All right, so here's how I'm filling out the end. So I put Spencer Danielson at 12 just because I have no idea.
Too.
I have Kenny at 11 for all the reasons I just mentioned. You now wind up with Ryan Day and James Franklin, and I have to give Ryan Day credit. The one thing he can do is beat James Franklin. So I put Ryan Day at 9,
Ooh.
Franklin at 10.
You know what? I should flip those two. All right, so I have Danielson at 12. I have questions about Danielson. I think he also has a generational talent at
yes.
Boise State, which doesn't happen very often. Their defense played well in the Mountain West Championship. Give him credit for that. But I put him at 12. I put Ryan Day at 11, Franklin at 10. I'm going to flip-flop those. You made a good point. Day beats Franklin.
That's the only one he can beat.
Ryan Day, I don't know if he's a good coach. He's the coach of Ohio State.
I know he has a great job.
He's got a great job. They've got all the resources in the world. Is that his fault? I don't know, but prove it to me, buddy. And you know what? If we talk loud enough about it, he might reference us.
Yes, it's a good
postgame.
He might cut a promo.
Let me tell you about Jeffrey Wright. He said we were not a very good coach.
Yeah,
and look at me now.
Ryan, you lost to Michigan as a 20-point favorite. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, we both got the same tell your story. You got it in front?
I do. So yesterday, I know we're running out of time here, Adam Schefter put out a pretty crazy tweet saying that Sacramento State had $50 million in NIL. Doug Gottlieb, of UW Green Bay head coaching fame, said, "Geez, Shefty, edit what agents tell you. 0% Sac State has $50 million in NIL. Schefter's response, "Geez, Doug, a 7-game losing streak in last place in the Horizon League. Less time on social media and more time in the gym."
Yeah. In fairness to Dougie, I had the same question. With that being said, he was kind of asking for it.
Yeah.
No one is afraid to take the kill shot on Gottlieb. No one's afraid to shoot to kill. All right, my man. We'll talk to you on Friday.
All right. See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show with Connor coming up next.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.